One.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my fucking show. So, this week, we've had some shit with the taxes that I don't quite understand, but I'm pretty sure that the people who voted for him, the right-wingers and the libertarians who are talking about how taxes theft are not going to be happy, because that's what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump is excellent at giving conservative folks the words they like, but not the bills that will help them. So that shit's happening. But we do have some good news in this fucking terrible, terrible world. We raised $300. Actually, we raised $410 last night. If we use the GoFundMe for, I have medic friends that are trying to get to Puerto Rico so they can go help people in Puerto Rico, and we raised money for them, some money, but there's a GoFundMe also, and I will get you the name or the link for that GoFundMe by the end of the show so you can contribute even more to this amazing, amazing fund. Because if you're not aware, in Puerto Rico right now, there's it's really fucking bad what's going on there. There was the hurricane, and the fact of the matter is that this thing called the Jones Act that prevents people from going there to help that are not given permission from the United States. The United States controls all the trade and all the transportation to Puerto Rico, and the Cheeto lifted it for about 10 days, like months ago, and people celebrated, and that's what we do. That's what we do here in America with the new consumerist protest culture, I want to call it, you know, where they have the pink pussy hats. They're basically selling protests. Protest has now become trendy in the age of Trump. Capitalism likes to take things over. But yeah, we, you know, attended. Jones Act was lifted. Hooray! We called our senators. We did it. Yeah, we're so good. But it was only 10 days. So there's a lot of shit going on. And the way resources are sent there, they're very centralized by American marshals. So actual independent medics are going there to help on the ground there. So you should really donate to this fundraiser anyway, or donate to this GoFundMe. Hi, I did my opening crazy rant about how fucked up things are, and I am here with the host of Murmur, whose show I was just on, like, moments ago. And how do I fucking pronounce your name?
It's Uluç Ülgen.
Uluç Ülgen.
Not bad.
Uluç Ülgen.
I like it.
Well, I'm from New York, so, you know, I've listened to everybody talk. So, where are you from? What's your dealie?
Oh, my God. I guess the short version of the story is that I'm originally from Turkey. Moved to the middle of nowhere, Minnesota, at the tender age of 9. Lived there for 13 years that I'll never, ever get back because I was so fucking miserable. And then came out to New York 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I love my life now.
Why did you move here?
To New York City?
Yeah.
I met an opera singer at a downtown YMCA. And I just, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's Minnesota. You barely see any people of color. So, and, you know, he had a pretty big presence. So I walked up to him and just started making small talk. And 48 hours later, I made up some story about how I was Prince's assistant, which was kind of true because I worked at the club where Prince made the movie Purple Rain. So, you know, that was kind of my hook. And he's like, well, you're Prince's assistant. He's like, how about you be my assistant? And next thing I know, he buys me a flight ticket to fly out to New York City.
Oh, my God. You lied to this guy.
I didn't lie to him. But I did walk Prince on the stage one time. So technically, I was his assistant.
Oh, no, you totally lied to this guy.
I didn't.
Did he know that you weren't really his assistant?
Oh, I let him know. But I was just like, you know, I was like, I work at his club.
Oh.
And sometimes I work with him. It was a semi stretch of truth. Let's just put it that way.
That's some fuckery.
It's not fuckery because it's based on truth.
Okay, fine, whatever. Tell me the rest of the story.
That's it. And then I came out to New York City.
And what did you do when you got here?
2 weeks in, I accidentally ingested a tray of pot brownies that ended up putting me in the hospital. And so that was kind of the solution of our work partnership.
Oh, it was over after that?
Yeah, I was stranded out on the streets and I just ended up getting a restaurant job. And here I am.
That's like classic New York. Oh, I got a job at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, everybody, go to gofundme.com/h4j-goes-2-pr. You know, the little tiny dash. It was like a little minus symbol. Yeah, that's Hood for Justice. That is an activist group that doesn't exist anymore, but people formerly part of that group will be doing medic shit in Puerto Rico. So you should donate to that. They're officially... Oh, we've gone past our goal of 12,250. I'm really bad at reading numbers. I guess that's 1,250. How do you people say that? My rent's 1,800. 1,250. Fuck, I don't fucking understand. Anyway.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I already asked you an hour ago, but how are you, Took?
Pissed off. No, this is my show. This is my therapy. You're part of your show too now, as you're on here. But this is my show where I get to unleash all the fucking shit that has been pissing me off this week. Where, like, basically, what would save the world to me is if people stop being so goddamn fucking oppressive. And I feel like oppression is in so many. It's micro. It's macro. It's like, you know, like, most of the time, I feel like I'm dealing in power dynamics. Like at work, I'm dealing with someone who has more power than me, and I'm usually being exploited.
Where do we stand right now? Are we equal, or is one above the other?
I'd say there are intersecting things going on. I think that right now I am, it's my show in the sense that I have power here. They can probably kick you out, but I'm not going to. But there is that power dynamic. There's the power dynamic where you're a guy, so in a lot of situations, people probably listen to you more than they would listen to me.
Interesting.
But I'm also, you know, like, did not immigrate here, and I grew up in New York. So I probably have more of a, like...
Leg up?
In a sense, yeah, probably. Like, especially just in New York, just being from New York, mm-hmm. I have just, like, a stronger understanding of, like, maybe just the geography alone. In the sense that, like, a couple nights ago, I was working at my bar, the bar I work at. I'm a hostess at a bar. And this guy came in, he didn't have an ID, and they're like, you have to leave. And he was like, oh, where's the nearest train? And I was like, Union Square. Mm-hmm. And mind you, we're like...
Wait, you work near Union Square?
Sort of. Yeah, okay. I work in the Flatiron District.
Because I live on 14th Street.
Wait, oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well, you probably...
Stop by sometime.
I'm not going to advertise where I work on here, actually. But yeah, I'll tell you later.
Max Brennan, hot chocolate.
What?
Never.
Oh, no. But if I say where I work, that's bad because
let's not do it.
I could have alt-right people come after me. No, like actually, like legitimately, yeah. No, like we'll talk about that later. So this guy was like, where is Union Square? And I was like, you don't know where the fuck Union Square is? And he's like, oh, I've lived here for a couple months now. And I'm like, and I was like, okay. So I drew him a map and I was like, oh, and then Chipotle is over here. And then just to give him a clear, and he's like, whoa, how do you know all this? I'm like, I'm from here. I grew up here. And he was like, what?
I think he was very easily impressed.
No, I think a lot of people are very impressed by people who grew up in New York. Mm. And that's a weird thing. But I don't think that's necessarily a power dynamic there. But I do think, like, for example, on Murmur, the last show, you were talking to me about, like, racial relations in America and stuff. And you, even though you've been here a long time, you seem to talk about it as if you still felt like an outsider in a sense. So there is, like, that privilege of being, like, American-born. So you would have like male privilege. I'd probably have America privilege. Do you know what I'm saying?
Perhaps. Although, you know, I'm grateful to have attained a American citizenship. So in that sense, we're kind of on the same level. But
oh, yeah, of course.
But, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, it never really, really occurred to me until many, many years later for the fact that just because my name is Uluç Ülgen, just by the nature of my name, how many... But my resumes got thrown into the garbage can just because I wasn't, you know, Tom Jones.
Some people might have thought you were Muslim.
Perhaps. But I will make one point in that I find it that one of the most beautiful things about New York City is that if you do have like a weird name like Uluç Ülgen, it's actually kind of embraced in a way, in my experience. They look at it like, oh, hey, where's this guy from? We want to meet him. Let's have him come in for an interview and let's talk to him. But whereas in middle of nowhere, Hicktown, Minnesota, you know, I mean... Yeah, it's like forget about it. It's like the kiss of death. You know, if you're named Ulich, you're not going to work. I was on food stamps. And
really?
I still am.
You're on food stamps right now?
I just got back onto them just for a couple months.
I should be, honestly. See, I thought you were Russian when I first saw your name, actually.
No, I'm circumcised.
What? Are you Jewish?
No.
They circumcise in Turkey?
It's terrible. I got circumcised when I was 9 years old.
What the fuck? Why did they do that when you were nine? Isn't that like a baby thing?
It's like, in Turkey, it's a tradition. You have to be at an age when you're cognizant of the mutilation that's about to be performed on you, because they see it as a rite of passage to manhood.
Okay, well, here's what I think. I don't think people should be circumcised, period, unless they want to be. But I actually think that it's better for people to be aware of it than when they're babies and they don't know what's going on.
Aesthetically, what do you prefer?
People who want to look that way, a certain way. I'm telling you, I don't really have a preference. I have a preference for people who are comfortable with how they look. So a lot of people are uncomfortable.
That's important.
With the fact that they're uncircumcised, or that they are circumcised. Actually, I'm writing something about anti-circumcision activists right now, because they have a tendency to be very anti-feminist and like,
really?
They're like ridiculous. They call themselves intactivists.
What?
Like intact. They're fucking crazy. I had an episode about Tinder recently, and I know this guy on Tinder, or I know this guy who I've known for a little while. I met him like on the street sometime, and he like fucking like went off his shit the past couple years, and he's like an intactivist, and like every other sentence was like about how I thought I was more oppressed than him, and about how like, you know, just because we've both been sexually assaulted doesn't mean my experience is better, and like this whole thing, it was fucking, and I'm like, I am sympathetic to your cause. I would love to talk to you about it. And he was just like, no, like, you realize that, oh, here, many disagree with you, women disagree with you too, right? Way to be sexist, as usual. And like, it was just crazy. Like,
what the fuck? I didn't even hear anything you said in the last one. It was just like oppression, hatred, you know? It's like, can we just hold hands and like eat ice cream?
No. No, what I'm saying is like, I messaged him being like, hi, I know you in real life. And he started like attacking me and telling me that I didn't understand anything about gender or oppression.
So he's a fan of your show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good.
No, he's not. No, I'm just saying there is this like this group of men who are anti-circumcision who fight to end circumcision. But while doing this, tell everybody else that their thing is the most important and that women have never been oppressed. Actually, it's men who have been oppressed because of circumcision. Like, that's their whole vibe. And you think that we should hold hands and eat ice cream with this dude?
Okay, now that you put it that way.
You didn't understand that before?
No, I understand.
Did you not understand before at all?
I got sidetracked.
Were you taking my picture?
I was.
That's fucked up.
I was going to send it to you, though.
It's not fucked up. It's not fucked up at all.
I think my intentions were good, because I was thinking like, you know, this is kind of a fun banter.
It's not fucked up. I'm making fun of you.
Really?
Yeah. I'm totally
I don't even know anymore.
I'm totally
You're making me feel
fun.
Like a bad person.
Am I really?
No, actually, you're not.
Okay. I don't want people to feel like a bad people. Actually, last night, though, I was fantasizing about making a Facebook Live video where I was like, just admit that you all suck. You'll feel good once you do it. See, like, once you admit that, like, you kind of suck, you start to feel better, mm-hmm. or you stop being as shitty. Like, I just wish, like, my liberal dad would start acknowledging that, like, maybe he doesn't acknowledge all the quiet racist shit he does. Like, he does.
Is he your real dad?
Yeah, my biological. He's not racist. Like, he's not, like, a blatant racist. But sometimes he does, like, this voice acting thing where he goes, yeah, where he'll do, like, and I'm like, Dad, that I hate your fucking racist voice. And he's like, oh,
racist
I'm.
Racist voice.
It's like, you know, like doing like a stereotypically black voice. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, shut the fuck.
Do you think it comes? Is it like second nature to him, or he's doing
it
in person?
I do think he's just playing, and he's not doing it on purpose. But I think.
Can he do it? How does he do it? Like, yeah,
and find a parking space. Like, it's like really, it's just weird. I don't know the fuck he thinks he's doing. And I'm like, Dad.
Do you think little things have a way of getting on your nerves really fast?
I don't think it's like a little thing. Let me make my point. My point is that I think that that's like something that's like the fact that he doesn't care that it's like playing on stereotypes tells me that a lot of people from his generation have problems squashing the tiny things that like represent intolerance or represent stereotypes and racism. And I think that is why Donald Trump won, or plays into that factor. So I'm just irritated with people who are willfully blind to their own bullshit.
I think you're absolutely right in the fact that, you know, there's hatred and racism and all that stuff still occurring in this country. But given the choice between having people walk on cracked eggshells and be afraid to say how they truly feel about matters, and have them adopt sort of a comical, joking attitude about these matters, given the choice, I would choose the latter, because I think it's important for us to, during times of hardship and trouble, to retain a little bit of sense of humor, at least.
Yeah, but who
is that offensive?
Not really. It's just like, who gets to have that? You know what,
like,
I'm saying?
If you were to call me a terrorist right now, right? Like, Ulish, you're a straight up terrorist.
Yeah, but you're from Turkey, which has nothing to do with any of that. But yeah.
Oh, come on. There's ISIS spawning grounds in Turkey. I've been there. I was 40 miles north of Aleppo four years ago. So
sure. I hear you. I hear you. But it's like,
I would find it funny.
Okay, but see, but that's a joke about you.
Yeah.
I don't see, here's the thing, like, if I want to think it's funny when dudes be mad sexist to me, that's fine. But I don't get to be like, oh, look at that Black Lives Matter person. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get to laugh at other people's shit. So I'm saying, so for my father to do that voice is kind of fucked up. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like he's making fun of himself for growing up in the South and probably everybody's family voting for Trump. He can make fun of himself for that.
Uh-huh.
But do you see what I'm saying? It's like weird when you're talking, when you're making fun of other people's shit.
But if you were calling me a terrorist, it would be you making fun of me.
Yeah, which
maybe, but I would like it.
And maybe we would, but
I guess
also,
the way that
it
I see
it also depends on that kind of, what kind of relationship.
You're absolutely right.
Like, if saying like my dad is doing this behind a closed door with me and only other white people, that's fucking weird.
But if there were black people in the room, then.
It would probably
given
be,
the situation.
It would be fucked up unless they had that kind of relationship where,
okay,
they, where they were like, oh yeah, like that's funny, like haha, we can make fun of shit like that. But like, but I think it's specifically weird when it's just all white people in the room, mm-hmm. and nobody says anything about it and just laughs. And that's why I say something about it, because I think it's weird not to fucking say anything about it.
You know, it really took me by surprise. This was about a year ago. I was on the rooftop with my with the person that I was seeing at the time. I'd known this individual for 4 years, and you know, we had a really nice relationship with one another when she kind of dropped a bombshell by saying that, God, I hate, she said the N-word.
Somebody you were dating said this?
And
maybe this is a girl from the South?
It's a different girl from the South.
That's what I mean. These chicks ain't innocent.
And so, you know, I was just like, okay, well, you know, what would make you say such a thing? And she explained to me that there was an occasion when she was like 4 or 5 years old. Her brother had died of a heroin overdose because he had been a drug addict for a long time. And apparently when she was 4 years old, her brother had let in this black guy that, and he didn't have money for the drugs. So he just told this black drug dealer, you know, just get whatever you want from the house. So as she tells me, you know, when she was 4 years old, she walks in the apartment and she sees this guy taking her PlayStation and like, you know, family valuables, jewels or whatever, and from that moment on, black people just like left a bad taste in her mouth. And you know, for me it was upsetting to hear it, because you know, I mean, how horrible is it that you would let one incident, you know, ruin your entire perception on a demographic, on an entire demographic? But what made me also even more surprised was that, you know, how I did not see the side of her. And
did you dump her?
Yeah, we parted ways shortly after that. I mean, I tried to help her out. I mean, the beautiful thing was that, you know, or I shouldn't say the beautiful thing. I mean, the good thing was that she realized that it was a problem of hers to have this
judgmental. You can't live in New York and think like that.
I that's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
If I had been there with you, I probably would have punched her in the face without even thinking about it.
But if you think about it, something traumatic happened to her. I mean, which doesn't justify her way of thinking. I really don't think it does.
Yeah, but I guess. I don't know. I guess I don't think I just like don't care.
Do you find it hard to sympathize with your enemies?
I do to a point. I think when it comes to shit like that, it's just so fucking dumb. Like, come on, like, look.
I don't like it either, but
I'm saying I have a lot of trauma and shit. And a lot of it I can separate from reality. Or even if I can't, I remove myself.
Is it mostly against men?
Yeah. And I can remove myself from it to a point. And like, I know I have to go home and like relax and think about it. And I'm saying it's okay to be traumatized. But it's one thing to think that it's justified because of your trauma. But I also think it is a little different when we're talking about men specifically and we're talking about like white men specifically, mm-hmm. because there is an actual like power dynamic situation going on. Do you know what I'm saying? There is like, for example, like after slavery and after the civil rights movement, like a lot of money stayed white money. Do you know what I'm saying? There has never been a balanced playing field, at least in the United States. And we were talking about it on Murmur. But you were like, why is America, why do people talk about race so much and mm-hmm. why to talk about, because we haven't been talking about it for like the past 60 years, really, up until maybe the past 5 or 6 years now with Black Lives Matter and all the things coming out about that.
You might be right about it because I was one of those foolish, and I will underline the word foolish, people to assume that when Barack Obama got into office, that racism was over in America.
Oh, I knew that wasn't true.
Yeah, and I was very dumb. I was too innocent and
well,
naive.
You were excited, and that's okay. It was okay to be excited about Barack Obama, who also, you know, deported a bunch of immigrants. He's not that much better than Trump, honestly.
He deported some immigrants?
No, he deported a ton of immigrants.
Yeah, I think I heard about that,
A lot. I mean, the truth is, the Democrats are just Republicans with better PR. So, you know, it's the truth. But yeah, racism is definitely not over in America. In the 90s, we put it in private prisons, which was just slavery, pretty much. But you know, so if the prisons, by larger percentages, target people of color, and more people of color go to prison, and then in those prisons they're working for corporations for very little pay, slave labor. How much different is that than slavery? Do you know what I'm saying? When white guys do the same thing all the time and they get off, or, you know, for the same drug, same this, you know?
So what would you say to those people?
To which people?
To the white people.
I would tell them to be aware that they are getting away with things that other people wouldn't. And also, and to speak out about how unequal the prison system is, and speak out about how prisons themselves are organized terribly and have no chance for rehabilitation most of the time. If you go to prison for a nonviolent crime and you go to a prison where you're going to be there with murderers and people who, you know, maybe actually do need to be taken away from other people for a while because they're so violent, and you're going to be around all those violent people, you're more likely to come out as a more violent person.
This is why I think we should put you in charge. You know, you seem to have a very utopian way of looking at things.
But nobody's going to listen to me.
Why do you say that? Have more faith in yourself.
But seriously, I don't want to be in control of anybody else. That's the thing.
But you
also
have strong opinions and you want to do something
about
it.
I have strong opinions, but nobody's... part of anarchism is believing that everything would be voluntary. So I would only be okay with any of these things if they were voluntary. If the entire country voluntarily wanted to listen to me, then I would do it. If I ran for office and not everybody wanted to listen to me, I would feel like I was doing...
Are you saying that you need to have an audience before you can do something extraordinary?
Not an audience. No. You need to have people be okay with it for the most part.
But how do you know that people are going to be okay with it unless you throw yourself out there and run for mayor?
I mean, I was going to run for a senator on the Republican ticket.
On the Republican ticket.
Yeah, just to see what would happen.
Oh, you're terrible.
No, it's not.
I had Jimmy McMillan on my show a few months ago. Do you know him?
No.
He was the Rent-A-Student High guy.
Oh, that guy kind of sucks.
Yeah, he does kind of. I mean, I'm not going to say he sucks because I think he's... I loved him as a person, but some of his beliefs, I don't agree with.
Well, yeah, I have a picture with him on my Instagram.
How'd you find him?
He was just eating at the pizza place.
Yeah.
On
St. Mark's, right? Stromboli's, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, man.
I eat at Stromboli's every day.
Yeah, Stromboli's a lot. But where were we? We were talking about something about prison, and I don't know.
Have you ever been? I've been to prison one time.
I've never been to prison, but I have a lot of friends who might be going to prison. That's something we should be talking about. Everybody, if you're not aware, January 20th of last year was the inauguration of the Cheeto, and a lot of activists were down there, and some windows were smashed. With the black block, and basically the MPD, the Maryland Police Department, kettled a bunch of people, and A lot of those people, over like 200 people were arrested that day, and a lot of them didn't even do shit. First of all, if you smash a window, I actually think it's totally fine to smash a window during a protest. But that's just what I think. But if you're going to get any legal ramifications for that, that is a misdemeanor. That is destruction of property. You can get community service. You can get a big fine. You shouldn't be locked up for very long for anything like that. I mean, I don't think you should get locked up. I really don't think you should get locked up unless you've legitimately harmed another human being. But that's just my opinion. But anyway, the entire group of people they kettled are getting tried on like 6 counts of felony, like organized, but you know, conspiracy to riot, felonies. So now they have taken it into a jury trial and they are debilitating as the jury right now. So there is a chance that a lot of activists who may or may not have anything to do with smashing windows, they just happen to be there. And even if you smash windows, you should not get tried on 6 counts of felony. That's fucking ridiculous. So follow that, please. Be aware of that. The media is not talking about it like at all. Democracy Now! Did like a little think piece on it, you know, like a little piece, but they interviewed a defendant. But it is so undercovered, and I'm very, very upset. All right. So fuck the prison system. Fuck all of it. So I'm going to play a song right now. Let's take a little break because I am just all pissy right now.
Is there anything I can do? Can I give you like a, you know, like a back rub or a hand rub or just
we're good.
Can I make you tea?
We're good. No, nobody's upset about anything really. And I just think we should play a song. What do I want to play on here? What should we play? What's a good song? Oh, I know what we could play. Let's play Coat of Many. Here. I want to play Coat of Many Colors by Dolly Parton. This is what I really believe. So I have this angry exterior, you know? I feel like I have an angry exterior, right? But it's because I see so many possibilities for the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I see how the world could be a better place. Are you taking selfies on my show?
I was pretending to. I just did it to get a reaction out of you. I didn't actually take anything.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's so many more possibilities in the world of like how we can have a better world. And I'm just stressed out because I feel like a lot of people don't really care about it. So that's why like I feel like if I were to try to take on a leadership position to make it a better world, what would be the point of that when most people wouldn't even agree if that's how that would be a better world?
I would agree with it.
You would. But would it be
if it's enough to change one person's life, then it's worth.
Yeah, but what if it?
Fight.
But what I'm saying is it like worth it to take away other people's freedoms in order to just instate my own beliefs? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that
well, you
is
wouldn't
that,
be taken is that away in anybody else's freedom because you're concerned about the people?
Maybe, but let's play "Coat of Many Colors." This is a great song.
I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us,
and how my mama put the rags to use.
There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was a way down in fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. on my britches and holes in both my shoes. In my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. Made just for me.
There.
Dolly Parton's tits are totally fake. And
I disagree.
No, she openly admits that her tits are fake.
She's saying that just so wouldn't feel bad about it.
She says, well, you know, every time I notice something sagging or hanging, I just get it tucked and nibbed. And, oh, you know, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. That's what Dolly Parton says.
Good for her. God bless her.
The thing about that, though, the reason why I like that coat of many colors is because it's all about, like, how, you know, you don't need a lot of money to look good, you know, or you don't need a lot of money to feel good or be happy. And that's so pretty. Don't you think that's a pretty belief?
Yeah, the concept is great. I agree with it.
So what else can we talk? So why did you want to start doing Murmur? Tell me about where. Yeah. I know I saw your ad on the street like years and years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I
almost
responded to it, but then I guess I smoked weed.
Oh, no, no hard feelings. I actually would have loved to talk to you about that, you know, on Murmur. But anyways, it's perfectly fine. What am I doing with my scarf? I'm not sure. I have it like wrapped all around my body.
All around. It looks like it's around your neck and on your legs a little bit.
Yeah. You looked at me kind of, I don't know if it wasn't flirtatious. It was judgmental.
I was like, oh, wrapped around your body? You don't know what that would look like.
Should I tell you why I murmur?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so lost for words right now. I'm usually never like this. I started the project because, you know, I'd lived 24 years on this planet without having acquired a true friend. You know, when I moved to this country, I went from being the most popular kid in school to being, you know, the loser foreign kid who couldn't speak a lick of English. And quite frankly, my grammar was terrible. And still to this day, I'm very self-conscious about my grammar.
And my grammar sucks too.
No, it doesn't. You speak like, I told you, you speak like a river. You know, I like the way you flow. Remember that?
Thank you.
I like that line. I'm going to have to remember that line for future.
Like a river.
I like the way you flow, girl.
Speak and flow it all over the place. Anyway, so tell me.
Yeah. And then, you know, I had this moment where I was working at this restaurant called City Winery, and I fell insanely in love with this Bulgarian folk singer. I'll never forget her name.
Oh my God, did she sing at Mehenata?
Probably. Yeah. But oh my gosh, she had a voice that would like make your bones tremble. I mean, just so beautiful. Like the cells in my body would start crying when she would sing because she was just so elegant. And I won't forget, you know, I started obsessing over her. I think there's a condition called limerence. Are you familiar with it? I'll check it out. Anyway, so on my last day of work, you know, I was crying over her every night. I finally gave her a love note and I walked out. And next thing I know, I jumped on a plane to go as far away as I could get to, which was the border of Iraq and Syria. And I just went hitchhiking for a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And when I came back, I was so transformed by that experience, by the kindness that the strangers along the way bestowed upon me, that I wanted to bring the same hospitality back to New York City, which was to, you know, let anyone and everyone a home, give them a home and a platform to openly speak their thoughts and their minds. It's funny, you know, when I started out, it was supposed to be much more confessional. That's kind of what I had Murmur in mind for, but I realized that it turned into something much, much different.
You know, I can really relate to what you're talking about, because when I was 19, I was in the Occupy Wall Street thing and I hitchhiked around the country.
I forget how young you are.
Yeah, I'm 25.
You talk like you're 45, though.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's a
compliment. I feel like I'm going to die tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, my God. Imagine having a salad at 45 if I make
a salad at 45?
Imagine how I'm going to sound when I'm 45.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I'll make it that long. But anyway, after you hitchhike around somewhere and people are nice to you, you are different. You're nicer to people. And then it weared off for me for a little bit. But I'm still a little bit like that. But I can relate to that. Also, how do you feel about what's going on in Syria?
Syria?
Yeah, if you're from like Turkey.
I don't even know. I just think it's terrible. Like I said.
How do you feel about the Kurds?
The Kurds? I think it's sad that there was a time when the sultans took their land away and you know, murdered so many of them. And it's sad that the Turkish government is not stepping up to the plate and admitting to the occurrence of this genocide.
Do you ever miss Turkey?
I remember my first maybe 8 to 9 years of moving to America. I would like literally every day look at a world map. I would look at the point in Minnesota where I was, and then I would look at the point where it said Istanbul, and I'd just be completely transfixed on my home and thinking, aww, that's where all my friends and family are right now, and I'm all the way out.
Why
of
did you
shithole.
Move here? Did your parents get work here, or like what happened?
My mom and my dad got a divorce when I was 8 years old, and shortly after that, mom got a job offer at Mayo Clinic, and then we just like moved out there because, you know, it was like a job.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
have you ever been to like the Midwest?
My friend is from Minnesota. I mean, honestly, even when I hitchhiked to the deep south. Like
so you weren't kidding when you were talking about hitchhiking and strangers helping you. I thought you were paraphrasing what I was saying.
No, I'm saying I can really relate to it.
I understand.
No,
okay,
like I Occupy happened. I went to DC. I got in this kid's car. Went to Florida. Got
did
in a car
sleep?
With these. What?
Did you guys like have a romantic relationship?
No.
Okay.
No, I had a lot of, honestly, I was like raped in a weird way a lot when I was traveling like that. I know that's like a really weird thing to say, and it didn't really trigger me very much.
What's rape in a weird way?
Like where like I wasn't really okay with it, but I didn't say anything. Okay, for example, like when I was at Occupy DC, I was drinking with these like punk kids, and this guy kept like touching me and trying to stick his hands in my pants, and I was kind of just like, okay.
Was he cute at least? Actually, you know what? I'm very embarrassed that I even asked that.
Yeah,
because
it's a really fucking weird question.
Because,
I'm not gonna lie to
you.
That's
no,
a
hold
really
on.
Fucking
I guess
question.
Cute in the sense that, like, you know, was he handsome? But, you know, he might be good looking, but the act of putting your hand in somebody's crotch is the last thing that would
be cute.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck if he's cute. I'm going to be real with you. I don't give a fuck if he's cute. That's a big derailment of my story.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So I'm going to finish my story. What happened was like, he told me I could sleep in his tent. And I said, okay. So I went to sleep in his tent, and he came in and he just started like making out and fucking me. And it was like kind of gross. And I didn't really
so
want
So he was
it.
Putting his hands, and then he invited you and you obliged.
No, I didn't oblige to sleep with him. Okay. Okay. Let me explain. Occupy was the kind of place where people would offer to let you sleep in their tent all the time.
Okay.
And it was, did not mean like come over. But here's the thing. I invite people to stay at my house all the time. And that doesn't mean that that they should oblige to fuck me. No, he just got in my tent with me and like started having sex with me, and I was like, okay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I mean, it's one of the things where what I'm saying is like, I wouldn't even like, if I saw him today, I wouldn't even be like, you raped me, because it's something where like, you know what I mean? It's like a weird thing. Like that's like punk kid rape. Honestly, like this, I would like to say, I think that there is such thing as that, where it's kind
punk
of like,
rape.
Yeah, where it's just so like the world you live in is so like town to town that like you're just kind of like, what? And it's not cool. Like mm-hmm. It's not okay. Like that culture needs to change. But it was just weird. So yeah, I didn't have a lot of romantic partners, and I had a lot of sexual partners that were like weird and like disturbing. Like when I went to Orlando, There was this guy down there who I dated, who was just like insane, and he like believed that he was Jesus and that I was the devil, and like,
oh, come on, why are you hanging out with these guys?
Because I was 19.
That's no excuse.
Yeah,
you're an adult. Okay, I know. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
we're all dumb.
I'm
right
sorry.
Here.
I'm gonna be an asshole now. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Like in terms of the way society treats women and like expects them to act around men and expects them to oblige.
I don't know. You're absolutely
right.
I don't know.
I know I'm right. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm very bitey and nasty about this.
With that being said, you know, I guess my talking style is, you know, I'm very blundering. You know,
what do you mean by blundering?
Blundering, just I'm just very spontaneous. I'll just like see the first thing that, and perhaps it maybe does affect the way that I talk because we're in front of a microphone. You know what I mean? I find that it makes it for more interesting back and forth when I just say the first thing that, you know, pops into my head. And sometimes it might not be necessarily reflective of my true thoughts, but I say it just to kind of, you know, kind of things a little, you know.
That works. And you know? I'll say exactly what I think yeah. back.
And there's no offense taken. If anything, I like it when you get angry.
I'm an angry bitch.
Do you hate me now?
No.
Okay, good. All right. No, that's it. That's it. Just say no more.
No. But then, yeah. So I hitchhiked around the country, hung out with like a bunch of homeless people who like thought that Jesus was talking to him. This one dude thought that. Then I hung out with like juggalos and like, yeah. When I got back to New York, I tried to talk to people on the train a lot and they were like, you're so weird. Like, stop talking to me. So you kind of like took it to an angle and like made it into a project, like murmur. I was just like, hey, how are you? And people were like, you are so weird.
Yeah, except people showed up. They actually called the number on my
flyer. They did, because it's like voluntary. It's different than being on the train and having some like weird chick with like weird hair being like, hi, wanna be friends? I'm like, oh my god, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
I know. But you know what? I used to get very I would take it offensively when somebody called me a weirdo, but
I'm proud weirdo.
Yeah, but I know even if I might be off kilter, I know that I'm a good person deep down inside. I have good intentions, so that's kind of what keeps me away from feeling actually bad about people.
I might
me
be
weird.
A good person. I think I'm probably a decent person. I try not to make value judgments.
Are you feral?
Am I feral? What's that mean?
I don't know. What do you think?
Wild.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Okay,
like I'm kind of like vicious. I can be very vicious. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I can be very biting with my words. Like, I just know I go after people if I think they're problematic in a way that like I've never noticed a lot of people do that. Like, I can be very like, you did this thing, I need to get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm one of the only people who acts like that.
Well, it's kind of funny because when you were 19 or 6 or 7 years ago, it sounds like you didn't have the same degree of, maybe confidence isn't the right word, but you seem to be, you give less fucks about how people are going to react to the things that you do or to the things that you're going to say. Then
when Occupy started, I had just gotten out of an abusive relationship. An emotionally abusive relationship, and he was like there while I was doing, while I was at Occupy. He was like going from like same town to town as mm-hmm. me, like in a weird, it was this weird fucking thing. And so I was very like detached from my own feelings in that way about like, and I was very confused. So now mm-hmm. I'm sort of like, and then I ended up getting back together with him mm-hmm. afterwards of the whole thing, and like he was very abusive. When I was like in some movie that I got cast in, I was the lead. It was like a student film, and I was supposed to kiss a guy in a scene, and he like lost his shit. Tell me I couldn't be an actress.
He got jealous.
Yeah, I'm a loser. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you can't, don't date someone who wants to be an actor, you know, if you're not going to let them kiss somebody in a movie. It's a movie. Get over it. And he was like, you can't be an actor if you want to date me. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And he would just call me stupid all the time and tell me there was something wrong with me and then I needed fixing. And
so all of that sounds absolutely terrible. But coming out of the relationship, did you feel like you got a better grasp of who you are?
Now I see, that's what I'm trying to talk about. I see those power dynamics everywhere. Like, I see like men treating women like this all the time. I see women treating men like this sometimes. Usually it's the other way around, but I'm saying, and I see like larger scale, like group power dynamics where like maybe like certain groups have power over other groups. For example, like when white people move into neighborhoods like Bushwick and they build giant buildings that cost a lot of money and raise the property taxes for people who have been living there for a long time and kind of destroy their communities.
I mean, that's just kind of the world that I don't know what to say, you know. White people stop making buildings, I guess.
What?
I said white people stop making buildings.
It's more complicated than
that. Of course it is.
It depends on what neighborhood. But with that, I think we should play some AWA. And AWA is this great Yemeni music. I really, really enjoy it. So let's put that on. Let's play some good music right now.
Where's the Baba Ganoush?
Habib Galbi wa ya ayni, agab man ayni.
Awa, their song Habib Galbi. I played that on here before. What the fuck? Stop. Stop. All right. So let's we got about 10 minutes left on this show. Ulic.
Yeah.
Ulic. What's up?
Tell hey, me man, what's going on? Talk to me, girl.
Tell me.
We got some interesting energy happening in this room. You know, we're for a minute, we're kind of friends. And then for another minute, I say something. You're like, well, yeah, I don't agree with this shit. What the fuck is this Turk talking about?
No, I don't know the fuck is this Turk. I'm just really intense. I'm really set in my ways. Okay. And a lot of people.
I like it, though. I'm enjoying it.
A lot of people don't like it. It is kind of fucked up, though. I'm not very open. I'm open in like a weird way. Like I'll tell you anything I think, but I have a problem with almost everything. I'm like, that's oppressive because of this and this and that and that. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Yeah, and I feel like the sense I get is you're really turned off by that kind of talk.
Am I?
A little bit, maybe. You were like oppression and da, 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 I don't know what you said.
I wouldn't say that I'm turned off by it, but I can talk about it, but it's not on my list of priorities.
Your list of priorities?
Oh, I don't know. Feelings, emotions.
Me too. But I think those are all linked to that. Because I think oppression comes from not validating people's feelings about how they're being treated.
You might be right.
It's just a larger scale version of that.
I guess I just have this like utopian idea that we should all be there for one another.
Oh, me too, but how are you going to make that happen?
Start a podcast where I invite strangers to my house.
Would they actually just come to your house?
Yeah. It's changed a lot, though, the show.
The format.
The format, yeah.
So what do you think would save the world, what you just said? What would save the world?
Well, I think the simple answer would be for all of us to hold hands and eat ice cream, which I alluded to earlier.
But what about people who are lactose intolerant? That's super ableist.
Yeah, see, this is it. It's like, you know, you're taking every good thing, every good idea I have, and you find like a small flaw.
That was totally fucking with you. There's vegan.
But
ice
that's
cream.
What you, this is what the show's about. You know, it took trying to find the angle to attack you from.
Are you serious? You think that's what my show's
I'm
about?
I'm kidding.
No, I think there's some truth to your truth. I think you're a little serious though.
No, I'm not. I say it out of love. If you invited me on to be your show next week, I'd still come on. I mean, I say that as a testament to the fact that I'm enjoying this.
Okay, but no, but yeah. I think that's funny, though. I think that's funny. I was trying to bust your balls there a little bit. Being like, well, some people can't, but there is vegan ice cream. So
there is, it's
so
true.
It's not like everybody can't have ice cream.
Yeah.
There's low sugar ice cream.
What are these cups for?
I have no fucking idea. Are people's coffees or whatever?
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Maybe cups would save the world. Oh, I was telling you why I think shit would save the world. And you were like, ew.
Oh, poop.
Yeah, poop. Poop. Poop is amazing because if you process poop correctly, it breaks down and you have dirt to grow food from. It's magical. So if we processed our poop correctly, we would save the world. You can't handle it. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But you know what I'm talking about, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
About excrements.
What?
I said about excrements.
Excrements? Yeah, but are you freaked out by excrements? Are you terrified of your genitalia and your asshole?
I never do such a thing.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out what I think. Okay, so I'm just going to tell a story now at this point. So this is something really, really weird. Okay, so there's this person that I like. Okay, so tell me about this. So if you hooked up with someone, right, if you met somebody at a bar and you liked them and you thought you had a connection and they came to your house, right? This happened like a year ago. This is kind of like when I stopped doing this kind of thing. And you really liked them and you thought they were cool and they came to your house and you hooked up and they come. Right?
Inside of you.
No. They come. They jack them off or whatever. They get up, they go to the bathroom, they come out, they get dressed, and they leave. You would be like, what the fuck, right?
Yeah, it's a little sudden.
Yeah, or they're like, I have to go now. And they do that twice. You do it twice, and each time they leave after all, they just leave. And then you hit them up to hang out about other things, and they're kind of...
But what, hold on a second. That's where you're at fault, because if this has happened twice... Then why would you hit them up to hang out with them again for the third time?
Oh, I didn't.
When
no, but I'm saying, but point, they're in social circles that I'm in.
Okay, okay.
But what I'm saying is now they've been like texting me and like inviting me to things, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is it because I told you I thought you were an asshole at a bar? Like I got drunk and I was just like, oh, you're an asshole.
What do you think would happen if you suggested to meet up with them for over a cup of coffee?
Well, so now they just discuss. Invited me to something. And I think it's really weird.
Or you could just be like, you know, before I show up to this, I would rather have a conversation with you face to face, because maybe he's not aware of the bad thing that he's done.
Yeah, you're right.
Some people are oblivious.
I think it's so weird, though. Don't you think that's a little weird?
Yeah, but you know what? I bet you do shit that's so weird that, or to you it's normal, but for other people it's weird.
Oh, I am so
weird. Unless they point it out.
No, you're right. I just think that, like, I think he kind of knows.
I can sympathize with you, though. I can sympathize.
I just think that's a really, like, trashy thing to do.
It
honestly.
Is trashy, but you've also known him for a very short amount of time.
I mean, I know what it is. It's so, like, stereotypical of, like...
Cis male? Is that what
you're
going to say?
Yeah, it is. Oh,
my
it's
God.
Very,
can I bang my head on a wall?
No, because you should listen to it more. No, because it's true. There's like this major problem. I've noticed it with literally every single man I've ever dated.
He's just a shitty guy. That's what he
is. No, it's not that they're shitty. It's that they prioritize their own sexuality over everybody else's. Or they're selfish.
That might be true. Yeah,
that
I agree with that.
That's definitely true. And it's fucking gross. It's so
but
sad.
Women can do that too.
Yeah, they can do that too.
But it doesn't happen as often.
It doesn't happen as often.
Nowhere near as often.
Because we're culturally trained to appease men and their
needs. But it's changing. That's changing.
Good.
Starting to change.
Make them. Here. We're going to play out with this song.
Have I just been silenced?
No, you haven't. We can talk over this song. This is funny. Where's Tom?
He's vacationing in California.
Make them hear you. So everybody who's listening, I played this is like my favorite song. It's so fucking pathetic. It's Brian Stokes Mitchell in Ragtime singing about the revolution. And I feel like this is a good song to play out with. And say to those who blame us for the way
we chose to fight.
Ulich. Ulich.
See that here. Not lich. Luch.
Luch.
Ulich.
Ulich. Ulich. Thank you for being here. I know this has been long. I know this has been...
Can we, would you be willing to shake hands with a cis male?
You know, I gotta make that very clear before... I feel like you're interpreting it the wrong way.
I'm just joking. I'm not interpreting the wrong way.
I have no sense of humor. Oh my God. Nobody understands. Make them hear you. No. Can be all I'm saying is. The power of the pen. What would save the world? Every child to all the cis men out there who I love so much. When you come and you just get up and leave, it's really, really anti-revolutionary. Counter-revolutionary malice. Amen.
we still have time. Fuck. Is there anything you want to say before we go?
I don't know. There's a lot that I want to say, but I'll withhold my thoughts.
Oh my God, please say it. Please say it.
Nah.
Please say it. I want to know.
You know, there is something that I kind of want to talk to you about. If we have like five more minutes,
Just go. We have like 2 minutes.
I can't summarize it in 2 minutes because otherwise I'm going to look like the bad guy, even though I'm not the bad guy.
Oh my God. Just see if you can do it in 2 seconds.
I can't. I'll tell you off there.
Are you just offended?
No, I'm not offended. Okay. Oh my God, that's like one thing that you can't do, even if you try.
You can offend me.
I can offend you?
You probably could.
I probably could, but I mean, it would be hurtful.
All right, we have like seconds left. So I want to say thank you all so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. On Sunday, there is a protest for the exploitation of Santa's elves taking place in Union Square. We're going to march up to Macy's and we're going to talk about slave labor in other countries and, you know, exploitation. But we're also going to talk about the exploitation of Santa's elves. So thank you all so much for listening to What Would Save the World. Thank you, Ulich.
That's right. Ulich again.
Oh, wait, we have a whole other minute. But yeah, that starts at noon in Union Square on Sunday. And we'll be marching up to Macy's, like I said. And I wish you all have a happy holiday. And I hope that you don't shop at too many corporate stores. And I hope that you shop at your local businesses and shop from... I recommend you support independent artists.
I like your heart pin a lot, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, that's from Gila the Killa. You guys should all check out Killin' Hate. That's spelled like Killin' with just an N at the end and Hate, H-8. Two great rappers. It recently came out with a song called Plastic Man. They've actually been on this show. You can look at whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com to look up the episodes they were on. That was called like How Do We Get Rid of Plastic or something like that. It was a really fucking great episode. Hila the Killa and Sir Nate. They're very inspiring. Thank you for listening to What Would Save the World.